All right. If all of our any kids that are K and under can be dismissed to the back if they want. All the other kids, if you will stay out, please. If y'all can be fine, the book of Luke, Luke chapter 5. Takes a real guy to wear pink pants, don't it? Oh, excuse me. Sure. That's what the guys are calling today. Spirit done got a hold of him trying to get out of the church. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say he can change it. He can. You know, we go through life in cycles. We go through seasons that seem to last forever, like this storm that started out moving 17 miles an hour, and now it's down to like 2 miles an hour, and it's just crawling and crawling and crawling and crawling. Sometimes we seem to go through a season like that. It's just crawling. Nothing's happening. Nothing's changing. We don't see the light in the tunnel. Everything's just like it's always been. There's no hope. There's no future. There's just nothing. We're just there. But in a moment, in an instant, God can pass your way and change everything. And I want you to understand that we don't have to think that every day is going to be like today is. That tomorrow is like yesterday has been. That your future is like your past has been. God can pass your way and change things. And we see it all the time where lives are changed, where God changes hearts, where God changes situations, where God changes your finances, where God changes your healing, your health, where God changes your marriage, God changes your children. We see it all the time. You know, this storm, when it first started out, was a Category 4, if you remember. It was about 400 or 500 miles out from the coast, 600 miles out, and it was a Cat 4. Then it went to Cat 3, Cat 2. By the time it hit Wilmington, it was a Cat 1, which we know the rain bands were still extreme, but the wind speed changed. And just so you know, I learned is watching Weather Channel. I love Weather Channel. See, my first goal was not food line in Walmart or being a preacher, necessarily. My first real big dream was being a meteorologist. Mom got a picture of me at home as a little boy. I drew a map of the United States, and it wasn't a very good map I drew. But I made sure Florida was in there and Maine was up the top. But I drew a map, and I'm pointing at it, and Mom's got a picture of me telling the weather as a little boy. I love the weather. But then I figured out you just can't sign up for that. You got to, like, kind of know some math and science and be, like, really smart. So that kind of, you know, took that away. But I learned on Weather Channel that categories are only based on wind speed. You probably heard that, too. Not nothing to do with the rain or even the size of the storm, but the categories are based on what the wind speeds are. So God took that hurricane from a Cat 4 in the middle of the sea where it wasn't hurting nobody. It was a Cat 1 by the time it got here, and they were amazed that it downgraded so fast. Well, God, if he can change a Category 4 to a Category 1, surely he can change you in here this morning. He can change your situation. He can change your problem. No matter how long you've been dealing with it, it doesn't mean it can't be changed in a moment. No matter what you have done, doesn't mean God can't step in and do it differently. What we have to realize is that the battle was the Lord's. The Bible says that. The battle was the Lord's. But too many times, we're fighting it ourselves. We're trying to win the battle, the spiritual battle, I mean. We're trying to win it on our own. We're using our own effort, our own mentality, our own skills, our own abilities. Instead of saying, you know what, God, I'm going to step back and let you fight this battle. It's like Moses did when he got the Red Sea. Remember when Moses got the Red Sea and they were trapped and the armies come behind them? He didn't say, hey, boys, watch what I can do. Watch what old Moses can do. Your boy Moses didn't bring you out just to leave you to drown you. Old Moses got it. Old Moses with you. Just wait. Watch what old Moses going to do. Old Moses says, go, 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 said old Mo. And that went. No, he didn't do nothing of that. He took that staff and he said, watch and see the salvation of the Lord. And God blew wind upon that body of water, such a great wind that it parted off the ground and stood at attention until the people of Israel walked across it. God changed their circumstance. God changed what seemed impossible and made it possible, because God doesn't lie and God doesn't fail and God doesn't leave you out dry. God takes care of his people. What he has started in you, he will finish in you. Who he has called, he will fulfill. The road he's put you on, you will keep going on. He started you here, you will finish where he has you finishing. That is what God does. He does not fail you, and he does not forsake you, and he does not leave you. And guess what? I wonder, think about, this changed our whole mentality about God. We think about this. When Moses first went to Pharaoh and started talking, you know, all the plagues started coming, and he kept saying, let my people go, let my people go. You know, he never would. No, 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 no. And he kept going back. And the people are marching out. Now, here's our lives sometimes. Turn me down just a little bit, Brandon, on this mic. It's handheld. This is us sometimes. When they first got delivered, they're happy. We would be happy. Most of us are happy on payday. We got that check, we're happy. We get a bonus, we're happy. We get a promotion, we're happy. Get a new car, we're happy. Get a new house, we're happy. Get a new dog, we're happy. You know, we're happy. Get a new wife, excuse me. We get other new things, we're happy. All right, we're happy. So those are easy times to be happy. So they're marching out of Israel. They've been delivered. They're no longer slaves. Not only are they being delivered, but they can take all the spoils with them, all their animals, gold, silver, all the stuff, and they're on their way to the promised land. Oh, we're on our way, and they're happy, and they're marching. Onward, Christian soldier. You know, they're going. Well, something happens. Along their journey, they get trapped. Red Sea here, Pharaoh's army here. You think God might have knew that was coming? I think he did. I'm pretty sure God knew they would have that encounter. So why would God deliver them out of bondage and promise them a promised land to have them die by Pharaoh's army or by a Red Sea? God already knew. So just because a storm rises, oh, God must not be in this. Really? God was sure in that. God had them people of Israel right where he wanted them. Trapped and hopeless. And then God blew his breath and something changed. Sometimes we see our storms and our battles and our trials and we think, God, you're not in this. Why would you allow this to happen? Why would you position me here? Why would I toil all of these years, all of these months, all of these seasons and nothing changed? I don't like being here. I don't like where you've got me and it makes no sense to my mind or my heart. Why, a child of yours, Holy God, would you let this happen to? Why would you let us be trapped? Lord, why would you let me be in a lion's den just for praying to you? God, why would you let me face this giant that everybody else is scared of? God, why would you allow me to be in a pit by my own brothers? God, why would you allow me to be put in prison? Why would you allow me to be falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and then innocently charged? God, why would you allow that to happen? Because God has a plan and a purpose that's greater than ours. And many times we pray, God, let the storm pass. But sometimes it's the storm that positions us to the place to where we can pass through the power of God. Because he wants you to know, it's not you that doeth it. It is me that doeth it, saith the Lord. It is me that brings you out. It is me that saves you. It is me that heals you. It is me that delivers you. It is me that speaks to you. It is me that moves the mountains. Can somebody get excited here? I mean, we're in a hurricane. We have in church today. I'm telling you, there's something about letting God fight your battle that changes your whole spiritual walk. We're tired because we're fighting. You know, we learned this from Rocky. I'm a big Rocky fan. And remember when Rocky was in the ring about halfway through, he started telling the guy, come on, he put his gloves down. And he's wide open. You know why he was doing that? So the other guy would lose energy. So the other guy would exhaust himself by punching. And then Rocky was reserving his strength for that moment where the eye of the tiger. Toot. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, and Rocky came back. See, the devil is swinging. He's always after it. He's always attacking. You may feel he's really got you right where he wants you. But just understand, God is standing there. And when God swings, the enemy goes down. When God finally lifts the glove and says, enough's enough, watch what I can do, we will see the enemy defeated and we will walk into our victory. Let God fight your battle. Let's get some scriptures. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, which is the same as the Sea of Galilee, and two ships standing by the lake. He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught or a catch. I want to talk about this verse for a minute. As I read this verse, I got thinking, launch out into the deep. Isn't that what faith's all about? Faith's really about launching out to something we're unsure of. Something we're not quite, it's where we don't quite have our grounding. We can't really feel the bottom, so to speak. But we launch out trusting God will give us a bottom to feel once we take that step. I've told you this story before that to me just relates so much to this message because so many times we let limitations that shouldn't be there hold us back instead of just taking a leap of faith, realizing I can do this. When I was 16 years old, we were one of the last trips as a kid I went on vacation with my parents as a child. We were down at the beach and we were in a pool, okay? I'm 16 years old. I'm 6 foot at the time and about 170 pounds with a half a mullet. And I'm in the pool and I'm in the shallow end with my dad. Mom and dad can't really swim. They can make noise and they can splash around, but in deep water they would be a little nervous. So I'm in shallow water. I'm standing up here, water right here, and I'm seeing these little kids, you know, these boys' age, jump in the 8-foot pool. I'm 16, man. You know? I'm a man. Almost. Yeah. Almost, Nick. Yeah. Almost a man. And I'm sitting there thinking, these little kids are jumping this 8-foot pool. Here I am standing here. I know I can swim. Mom gave me swimming lessons. I took several years of swimming lessons. But here was the problem. I knew the motions. I could do all of this. You know, I could do all that. I could do the back. I could float on my back. I could swim on my back. I could kick my feet. I mean, I was a fish in 3-foot water. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, these same moves work in 8-foot water. And I said, this is ridiculous. This little boy is going down, jumping on the diving board, and I'm sitting there watching him. I've had lessons. I know how to swim, but it was the fear of not touching the bottom that scared the life out of me. So I told Dad, I said, now what kind of father is this? He just lets me do this. And I'm playing. I told Dad, I said, I tell you what, I'm going to take off. You know, it wasn't a real big pool. You know, it's a little hotel we was at. It wasn't a real big pool. I said, I'm going to take off and just swim from this end across the 8-foot and not stop till I get to the side. Dad's like, okay. So I'm sitting there. I just take off and I do it and I don't ever stop. And I touch the end, I pull up. That was it. Was it not, Dad? I was in the deep from then on. Poor Dad, he's over in the shallow by himself. Talked to some kind of women. I don't know. No, I'm playing. He was in the shallow. And I'm over there in the deep. And from that moment on, I could do it. See, I launched out by faith, realizing, you know, I can do it here. Why can't I do it there? Sometimes I think we're limited with our faith, thinking, okay, I'm safe here. I understand this. But launching out a little deeper, I don't know. I don't understand that. And that's where God is calling us. We believe a little bit more. We trust a little bit more. We stand a little bit more. We run a little bit more. We jump a little bit more. And trust me that as you step out, I will place stepping stones in front of you that as your feet is rising from the ground, I'll have something for it to land on when it comes down. That's what faith is. And here Moses says, see the salvation of the Lord. God didn't promise you a promised land and not come through on the deal. So he's telling his disciples, or telling, not disciples yet, telling the fishermen, launch out, let down your nets. Look at their response, verse 5. Simon answered and said, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Now, this is a very understandable thing. For any of us that have a trade, we know what we're doing. You know, Kenneth likes to fish. He's been fishing all night long in this area. I come meet him the next morning. How'd you do? I didn't catch nary thing. Didn't get a nibble. Nothing. I mean, it was like a ghost town all night. Nothing. All I caught was a couple of tin cans and a couple of other old fish hooks. I caught nothing. I said, well, Kenneth, I tell you what, let's go back out there and drop your net again. Okay, but nothing's going to happen. Just trust me. Drop your net again. And just because I say it, Kenneth says, okay, I'll try it. These guys knew what they were doing. They were fishing all night. Nothing was there. But he says, at your word, God, I trust you. Do we trust God's word or do we trust our circumstance? Do we trust God's word or do we trust what we're seeing in front of us? I know for some people, I've got to see it to believe it. I've got to touch it. That's really a podium because I can feel it. It's really there. I've got to have something solid to identify it exists. Those fish weren't there that night, or they would have caught them. But as Simon obeyed the word of the Lord and stepped out by faith, God changed his circumstance. The definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. We know that. You cannot eat meat Pablo's every day and lose weight. I'm a testament to that. We can't fill ourselves up with junk food and desserts and say, I don't know why I keep gaining weight. Really? I've cut back to 3 cones a day instead of 2 cones a day. Okay. You've got to change it. We understand that in order to have anything different, we got to do something different. They had toiled all night. And I think this is very key, that we are working and we are toiling. But are we letting God do it or are we doing it? Because I know we want breakthrough. And I know we want deliverance. I know we want answered prayers. I know we want healing. I know we want inspiration. I know we want answers today. We want them yesterday. I know that. But as long as we are laboring ourselves and we are working ourselves, we are not allowing God to work through us. There's a time, the Bible says, to cease from your works and rest. Trust me, I'm the finished work. I've done it all. I've paid the price. I'm enough. I'm all that you need and more of it. All that you need is found in me. I am the great I am for a reason. I am whatever you need me to be today in your life. I can change it. I can fix it. I can remove it. I can heal it anytime, any moment, to any person, because I'm God. He can change it. And I am thankful that because I'm in a circumstance today or a situation I don't like, it doesn't mean I'm trapped there. The children of Israel weren't trapped there. It was a momentary delay. That's all it was. They weren't trapped. God had them where he wanted. Can you imagine? God knew what their reaction would be. Can you imagine God saying, oh, watch this. Hey, Pharaoh's army, go after him. You know, like Bewitched, right? Wiggles nose, go after him. And they're going right there. Red Sea, you're right there. Let's see what they do here. God saw the whole picture. But God was teaching them something. You know, we teach our kids things. We call it a teachable moment, right? This is a teachable moment. We like that word. It's a very correct, politically correct, very nice word. What we really want to say is we'll beat you high end to show you a point. But the new expression is teachable moment, okay? God was having a teachable moment with Moses and the children of Israel to let them know, I'm in control of this ride. I'm in control of this journey. I will take care of you. I'll provide for you. I'll protect you. And I'll open up doors for you. When you see something closed, it doesn't mean it's closed forever. It means watch me and see what I can do with something that's closed. I can open it. We see example after example. Melon says it all the time. This book is really a book of testimonies. And we're still making them. We're still testifying today. We're still making moments for God today as we give him praise of what he has done. He has healed me of cancer. He has saved my wayward child. He has restored my marriage. He has healed my flesh. He has provided for me financially. Whatever the testimony is, we've got testimonies. You know, Marjorie shared her picture on Facebook of 1 year ago. This weekend is when she was in that bad wreck up toward Cherokee where she's sitting still on the interstate in a car. She's sitting still. And the car didn't stop in time and slammed the back of her at 60 miles an hour. That was a year ago that happened. And the vans all tore up in the back and, you know, her and her family walked away from that. Isn't that a testimony? Isn't that God fighting her battle? Margie couldn't do a thing. She was stopped in traffic. There is nothing that she had zero control of what happened behind her. But thank God he did. And he stepped in and says, see the salvation of the Lord. Watch what I can do. She can walk away from this. Let God fight your battle. Let God fight it. You know, Larry spoke last week, a few minutes. If you missed it, it was awesome. He got up here and spoke about, you know, Larry's been in the military. Still, are you still active military? You're not anymore. But he was active for many, many years in the military. He was a former police officer. And he has seen and done a lot of things, been a lot of places. And by his own testimony, he should have been dead 30 years ago, he said last week. But he's not dead. And there's one real reason he's not dead, and only one. And I'm going to make it real simple that even these little boys can understand this. People say I preach real simple. It's because that's all I got. The reason Larry is not dead is because God says, I don't want Larry dead. Period. I don't want Larry dead. So you can't be dead. Because I didn't say die. I didn't say, boom, be dead. So you're still alive. That's the only reason. That's the only reason any of us, the reason Margie walked away, God says, I don't want you to be dead. Not your time. Not today. Not now. Not this way. God surrounds us all the time with his presence. And God changes our moments in an instant. That day for Marjorie could have been a much different result in her life, her children's life. What if you had both kids with you, right? Just Peyton. What if her son had been gone? It had changed her life forever. What if Peyton had been gone? I mean, what if Marjorie had been gone? It had changed his life forever. What if they'd both been gone? It changed other people's lives forever. God can change something when he passes by. The woman with the issue of blood for 12 years could not find healing. But when she touched the garment of Jesus, what hadn't been changed was changed. Right then and right there, there was an immediate transfer of power from the hand of our Savior to the flesh of that woman, and her blood dried up. Now understand what she had to do to get this, okay? She launched out into the deep because she was a woman who should not be out in public without a man. That was part of the culture. Also, she had a blood condition. She was sick, which meant that she should not be out as a sick woman in public. It defiled her and defiled others. And so for her to press her way in this culture and in this condition to say, if I can just launch out, I feel terrible, I feel sick, it's overcome me, but if I can just get to where Jesus is, if I can somehow break through the cultural barrier and break through all the talking about and break through what people are going to think about me and say about me, I don't care if they see me raise my hand. I don't care if they see me shed a tear. I don't care if they see me dance in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to press my way and get my healing of what God has for me. And she pressed her way through. And when she touched his garment, she was made whole and healed forevermore. And I guarantee you, the Bible doesn't say it, but I know how Jesus works. I guarantee you, she never had that condition again. He made her whole because she launched out into the deep and trusted. The centurion man who had a soldier sick back in a different town. Remember he came to Jesus? He said, Jesus, my servant, my private, is laying back here dying. And I know you can heal him. And Jesus says, I'll come with you. No, no, you ain't got to come with me. Just speak the word. That's all I need. Oh, and he says, I've seen no greater faith anywhere around than that. The centurion didn't even want Jesus to come lay hands on him. He just said, just speak to him, Lord. That's enough. Speak healing, and I know he'll be whole. And the Bible says that when he got back to town to check on his soldier, guess what? He was whole. At your word, God. He launched out into the deep, and he trusted something beyond himself. You know why many relationships don't work? Is because of trust issues or because someone can't trust someone else enough to give themselves to that person. This is what marriage is all about. I trust you in good times, in bad times, in sickness and health, through heaven and through hell. I'll love you and I'll trust you. You can't have a good marriage if there's no trust in the relationship. How can we have a good relationship with God if there's no trust in him? I don't trust you, God. Because when we walk outside of faith, when we walk within our own abilities and our own stuff, and we don't really rely on God, isn't that what we're saying? I don't really trust you, God. I trust what I can see, what I can feel, what I can hear, but I can't trust that. What a lonely life it is for people that can't trust a creator. To thank God, you birthed me. You made me in my mother's womb. You created my inward parts, the Bible says. You wrought me on the inside. You know all the days of my life, the Bible says. I think I can trust that. You know, really, my mother is not the giver of my life. God's the giver of my life. My mother is just the vehicle that God used to bring that life through. But the life came from God. He breathed upon my mother's womb and created this incredible person you see before you today. In God good. Somebody say God's good. Next verse. When they had done this, when he dropped the net, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. What wasn't there is now there in abundance. Your sickness can lead to a divine healing. Your captivity can lead to a great freedom. Your bondage, whatever it is, your darkness, all that can give way to an abundance of light and miracles and deliverance because God can change it just like that. I still believe in a God that can do things now. I said this a few weeks ago, there eventually becomes a now day for all of us. You know, we're like, man, I just wish God would move. There's going to be a day he does move. Daniel had a now day. David had a now day. Abraham had a now day. All these people read about, they had the woman with the issue of blood, she had a now day to where that day became a real day for her to be healed. And because we don't see it now doesn't mean our now day is not on the way. It is. It's coming for the people of God. Right now, the wheat and the tares are growing together, the Bible says, but God knows who the wheat is. God knows who his children are. God knows who the elect is. God knows who the called is. God knows who the royal priesthood, chosen generation, peculiar people. He knows who those are. That's us. He knows that. And he's not going to ever forsake us or leave us. Their nets are full and they're about to break. And they signaled to the other boat, come help me. And they both came and filled the boats so they began to sink. Man, God does stuff right, don't he? He don't have to do nothing. He just put a few little fish in there. He got both boats so full, it started dragging. That'd be a dream, wouldn't it, Kenneth? Get so many fish, your boat starts sinking. Oh, my goodness. Woo! It's a good day. Now, I understood, this was their livelihood. This is their livelihood. They made money off these fish. So think about that. It'd be the same as a food line store on a hurricane warning. That wretcher don't stop. Shelves are empty. They love it. Don't you know retailers are behind the weather forecast? That's what I always heard. Oh, they love it. It's a big day. Sale day. Shelves are empty. Grocery flying out. It's a big day. The more they sell, the more they make. The more fish they caught, the more they make. This was a break the bank day. Probably a record catch day. And here they are. It wasn't there before, but it is now. Because God changed it. Some of you are in a situation now, you're praying for something to change. You're wanting it to change. You're waiting on it to change. Just keep waiting, keep believing, and keep praying. There's a day that God's going to pass by and say, it's time. Just like my one football debut I had in fifth grade. I told you I was third string in fifth grade. I mean, I was bad. I had a problem with football. I didn't like to hit. That's my problem. Sounds stupid, don't it? I'm on the bench. The last game of the year we're playing, I played for Ebenezer Eagles right down here. And we played Cool Spring Falcons. There were Falcons at that point, back then. And the coach called my name. He called my number, Don. I was 33. I was a defensive end. And they called my number. So here I come. I march in the field, North Iredale Field. I'm so pumped. I'm so excited. And I line up, you know, and I snap the ball. And the first play ever of my football career in a live game, I tackle the running back. Yeah, it was awesome. I should have played more. I was pretty good. I mean, I played two plays and one tackle. That's a great stat for any football player. You play two plays and get one tackle? Hey, pretty good. And the PA people would call your name, you know, but they didn't call my name. They didn't have my name. No, they didn't. I kept waiting to hear. Number 33 made the tackle. And the tackle was made on the running back. And they called his number, but not my number. Then the second play, they threw a bomb the other way, and they scored a touchdown, and the game was over. But the one play I had, I made a tackle. I had a point. Oh, yeah, my number got called. So maybe you're on the bench right now, and you're kind of riding this bench part of your life. You're like, man, you know, when's it going to change for me? You know, Linda's getting her miracles. Ivy's getting her miracles. Kenneth's getting his fish. Carrie's getting her convicts. I mean, you know, when am I going to get mine? It's time for me. You know, we felt that way, church. All of you at some time have felt, I don't care how humble you say you are, how Holy Ghost filled you are, how sanctified you are. We've all have felt, when's it my turn? When's it my time? Everybody else being blessed. When's it, God, when's it my time? God can change it off of your plan schedule. You may have a 15-year plan here right now, or 20-year plan, or 10-year plan, or whatever. But God's got a one-second, one-moment daily plan. I mean, he can take your life and all the plans you try to make for it, he can completely change that around. He sure changed my plan of life, and he sure changed Melanie's plan in her life. And I'm thankful for that change. Next verse. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell to Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Peter recognized the Savior. He was humble and recognized who he was in the presence of. Next verse. He and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partnered with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for now you will catch men." God made several changes in these people's lives that day. He changed their current circumstance. He changed their vision. And he changed their purpose. They were just minding their own business. Fishing. Another day at work. Just like how you took that video, Gordon, to work. You talked about it Wednesday night. Took that video to work and showed that song to several people. And how it changed that day. You know, normal day of work, blah, 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 blah. But then you show that song. Other people are moved by it. They're crying because of it. Then they're on the forklift singing it as they work. A change happened that day. You helped bring a change to the workplace by sowing the word of God. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Marty opened up with a song saying, he didn't have to let me live, but he did. We have no control over our lives. We don't do stupid things on purpose. The Bible says don't tempt the Lord. We don't just go stand in the interstate with the truck coming saying, if it's my time, it's my time. But you know what? We cannot. God does have, I believe, a planned time for each of us to see him. And I'm glad I don't know what that is. Y'all seen that thing on Facebook a while back? Came out a couple years ago. So see how old you'll be when you die? Who won't play that game? I stayed away from it. I don't be depressed. I mean, if it's 95, I don't want to know that. It ain't but 40 years. 50 years. Do what? Smart. But God knows. You know, so why fear? And why worry? And why be discouraged? Live life to the fullest, trusting God every single day that, God, you can change this. You can change it. Joe Brown prayed for a friend of his for many, many years. 40-some years he prayed with his friend Ohio of his to get saved. He loved his friend, knew he wasn't right, living right. Said, "Lord, save him, help him, save him." Joe got a call from this guy when he was in his early 60s. Joe was already living down here. He called Joe Brown, said, "Guess what, Joe? I got saved." In his early 60s, Joe didn't give up because he knew God could change it at any moment. I'm going to tell you something. The more rebellious someone is, the more they're being dealt with. I've learned that. So if they're all nasty and snarly and saying things against you, oh, you believe in God. I don't believe in your God. Oh, yeah, you do. Oh, yeah, you do. You fight it so hard. Oh, my gosh. Just give it in. Just give in. Because when people are rebelling against something, it's usually because they're fighting against something. Remember what Jesus said to Paul whenever he struck him down the road to Damascus? He was Saul then. He said, Saul, Saul, why are you kicking against the pricks? That's an odd expression, isn't it? Why are you fighting against your true calling? Is what he was saying. I've called you to be a minister to the Gentiles. He was on his way to arrest any of those folks that were in the Jesus way, they said. He was mad. He was on that road. I'm going to arrest women, children. It didn't matter. Anybody that says they're a follower of this Jesus of Nazareth, this Jesus way, I'm going to arrest them. Then God struck him down, called out his name. Why are you kicking against the pricks? Don't you know what your true call is? And he rose up blind for 3 days, went, had his hands laid on by a man. His sight was restored. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was baptized, and the rest is called the New Testament. Man, what a change. God can change in a moment. The tax collector, now they're still dirty, right? They're still evil people. We don't like tax collectors. But back in this day, they were known to make their living off cheating people. They would overcharge what they were doing and then keep the money. This was a known fact. So little Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and he was a crook, and he cheated people. But one day, he heard about Jesus coming by. He wanted to see who Jesus was, so he climbed this tree to get a viewpoint. Who is this Jesus I keep hearing about? I want to see who he is. He's up in a tree. Jesus stopped. Can you imagine this? What's up? Oh, you up. Come on down from that tree. I want to save you today. And Zacchaeus was changed to the point. Now think about this. For all of you that can't let go of your money, think about this. He got changed to the point that he went back and repaid all the people he had cheated and gave them their money back. I've been changed. Jesus passed my way. I was a nasty tax collector, but now I'm a child of God. I was an old barbarian marching on the road to Damascus. But now I'm a child of God. Peter was a denier, denied Jesus 3 times. Oh, but now I'm a child of God. For the blood that was spilt for me was spilt for me being a denier. It was spilt for me being a blasphemer. It was spilt for me being a rebel. It was spilt for me being a crook. It was spilt for me being a murderer. The thief on the cross, it was spilt for him. The blood of Jesus was spilt for all creation, to all that call upon his name. He can change your moment, your life, your heart, your steps, your future. He can change it in a minute, God can, because he can move at any moment, at any time. Don't get stuck in where you're at thinking that's where you're going to stay. God is on the move. Hallelujah. He is on the move. And he's going to move you to where he wants you to be. You just trust him. And you believe that. There's something about faith that's hard for us to grasp because as humans, we want it proven to us. But when we learn to operate in faith and trust that there's something bigger than us, it gives us a life of peace and strength and hope. Because I do believe in a glorious day. I do believe there'll be a day that our ears will hear a sound that creation has never heard, that the angels have never heard. There'll be a sound like no other sound that will come out forceful and bold and distinct. And I believe what the Bible says, that we as his sheep will know his voice, and we will hear our name called by the Creator of all things, that he will unroll the scrolls, and the Lamb's book of life will be opened, and the seals will be removed, and there lies my name, James Lewis, sanctified by the blood of Jesus. James Lewis, justified by the blood of Jesus. James Lewis, saved by the blood of Jesus. Because it is not about what we have ever done, it's about what he has already done.
That's what grace and forgiveness and mercy is all about. And he can change that hardened heart of stone in an instant. Don't you give up. He can change you. He can change your spouse. He can change your children. He can change whoever you're praying for. It doesn't matter their heart is as a wall and a rock wall today. God can make them like a teddy bear tomorrow. Because when the Holy Spirit touches a heart, it penetrates and divides asunder. The Bible says the word's like a living sword. It divides asunder. It digs down deep and touches the depth and the morale of man. It touches the inward man and changes us from the inside out. That's what the power of God does. He can change you. He can change your children. He can change your circumstance. He can change your finance. He can change your body. He can change whatever he wants to change. You trust him and believe. God, my healing, my deliverance, my salvation, there'll be a today for me. This will come. And I'll keep on serving while I'm waiting. I'll keep on singing while I'm waiting. I'll keep on worshiping while I'm waiting. I'll keep on giving while I'm waiting. I'll keep on obeying while I'm waiting. I'll keep on moving and walking and following you while I'm waiting. Because God, while I'm waiting, guess what? You're preparing me for my miracle. While I'm waiting, you're putting things in place behind the scenes that I'm not aware of, that I can't see. But God, you're doing something behind that door. I don't know what it is, and I don't even like that I don't know what it is. But I got to trust you that you're doing something behind the door that I can't see. And just like the doctor, the nurse comes out and says, Mr. Sigmund, follow me. There'll be a day the door in your life opens and you will hear God call you by name and say, your door that's been closed has now been opened. Step across the threshold and follow me. It's your time right now and I'm calling you by name. Glory. He can change things. We wait in expectation of everything else. We waited the last day we were in Florida, next to the last day. We were waiting on this new ride that they created at Hollywood Studios. And it was a new ride. It was called Slinky Dog. Wasn't it Slinky Dog? Yeah, it's a little roller coaster. It was a Toy Story Land, okay? Slinky. You know how long the wait was? I've never in my life waited this long ever for a ride, but I took one for the family, Don. It's 90 degrees. I'm miserable. I'm hot. I'm ill. And I'm stressed. But it's the happiest place on earth. So I'm sitting there, and we waited. What was the wait when we first got in line? An hour and 35, 40 minutes. Like an hour and 45 minutes for one ride. So we're standing. We're like Florence. Barely moving. I have never stood. We couldn't get a fast pass for that ride, so we just took one. We just waited. But you know, my whole point of saying that is, and Ashley didn't like it. Me and Melanie thought it was great, but Ashley didn't like it real good. But anyway, we waited in expectation of something exciting happening. When you're out back and I give you that little buzzer, it'll be about 35 minutes. You know, you're waiting for that red light to light up. You're sitting there, you're staring at it. Ooh, it lit up. You're so excited. It's your turn to sit at a table and eat that good old steak and loaded baked potato and cheese fries, the homemade ranch, and that good old pumpernickel bread. Oh, it's your time. We love it. We go to a sporting event. We get ready to go through the gate to the football field. I remember we went to Pittsburgh last year. We got to see a game up there, and it was so cool to go to Steeler Stadium. We're so excited. We're walking through and we're getting ready. You know, we're in the lower part. We're getting ready to come out to where we can see the field and just the expectation. You know, it was worth, you know, all the, well, Michael doing all the driving. And it was worth, well, Michael doing all the, you know, stuff. Anyway, it was worth all that. We were cold. It was like 30 degrees and it was wind blowing. It was cold. But it was awesome. It was a true Pittsburgh experience. I want to be cold. I actually had a scarf. I mean, actually like an Eskimo. Yeah. Covered up like that. But the expectation. I remember walking in. It's like, oh, I'm not even really a Steelers fan. It was just cool. There's so much history there. So I'm walking in. I'm like, oh, look at the yellow seats. The end zone. The logo. Steelers. The terrible towels are waving. Just the expectation. You know, the PA guy gets up there, right? He says, ladies and gentlemen, going to introduce your Pittsburgh Steelers. Number 7. You know, right? And everybody to run out of the tunnel. And there's pyrrhythmics. What do you call that? Pyrotechnics. What'd I say? Pyrifics. Well, whatever. The stuff that goes, choo-choo-choo. Everybody's screaming. They can't wait. Oh, they're coming out. They're coming out. You're in such expectation. Everywhere we go, we wait with expectation. If it's a doctor's visit, right, we're waiting with expectation. Is it good news or bad news? But we're waiting with some kind of expectation. When it comes to spiritual walk with God, let's wait with expectation. Because God's got a much better ride for you than Slinky Dog. Yeah. And see, I can't pay no attention, but he heard exactly what I said. That's how kids are. God's got a much better ride for you than number 7 come out of a tunnel in Pittsburgh. God's got a much better ride for you than NASCAR around the track 2 times, Gail. God's got a much better ride for you than that. So let's wait for it. And wait with expectation that God is going to do something. Marge, come on up and do a closeout song for us. I want you to be encouraged today that God can change it. Whatever you're going through, God can change it. You just keep on waiting, you keep on trusting, you keep on believing. And it may take you launching out of the deep and doing some things you're not comfortable doing or doing things differently than what you're doing them. Because as we know, we keep doing the same thing. If I keep yelling at Mel every day, what's she going to do back? Yell back at me. But if I give her some sugar, I might get some sugar back. Then she'll yell at me. But I'll get some sugar first. So that's okay. It's time we start doing things maybe different than what we've been doing them. Maybe God is speaking to some of y'all about, you know what, launch out a little deeper and trust me and do what I'm calling you to do right now and obey those directions that I'm pointing you toward and trust that I'm giving you those directions for a reason. I'm trying to position you for the plan I have for you. But it may mean that we do something that we haven't done before. Let's stand to our feet. I just want to pray this morning. After I pray, Marge, you go ahead and go into your song. Father, as we stand in your presence this morning, we know that you can change it for us. You can change anything we're battling. Lord, for some of us, we're so tired, we're so weary, and we're discouraged, and we're tired of carrying that. We need you to pass our way and remove that burden, remove all of that stuff off of our lives. You can change it, God, and we're thankful for that. Give us the patience. And give us the faith to stand in the middle of the storm while it's brewing and knowing, God, just as you said, the psalmist David in 23, that we will, that as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we walk through it, God. We don't stay in it. We walk through it. We will come out on the other side. You've already promised victory. You've already promised that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. For those of us in here that are in you, Lord, we are covered by your blood. And we have declared you as Lord. We are overcomers. We are now overcomers. I pray for a strength and a peace and a presence to fill the souls and lives that are gathered here today that will bring encouragement and strength to those that are battling battles and to realize it's okay because God, you're going to change it. And I'll keep on walking until it happens. We thank you, God. Increase our faith and increase our strength and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Let's sing together.
I know that you are for me. I know that you are for me. And I know that you will never forsake me in my weaknesses. And I know that you have come down, even if to ride upon my heart. And I know that you will never forsake me in my weaknesses. And I know that you have come down, even if to ride upon my heart, to remind me. I know that you are for me. I know that you are for me. And I know that you will never forsake me in my weaknesses. And I know that you have come down. upon my heart to remind me of who you are.
Why don't you take the hand of the person beside you, if you got somebody close enough to you, just take their hand for a minute. I want you to pray for the person's hand or hands you're holding this morning. Don't pray for you right now. I want you to pray for each other. Fathers, we are joined hand in hand. We're all battling battles. Some are known by others, some are not. Some are public and some are secret. But Lord, you know all of them. You know every struggle. You know every circumstance. You know every doubt. Lord, some of us in here may be angry. We're frustrated. We're unsure. We're confused. But God, we know that you can change it in a moment as your presence fills our lives. We pray for those we're joined with now that you, God, will move on their circumstance. You will move in their life. You will move in their storm. And that you will bring healing to what they are going through, God. That you will move in a way that will supernaturally break every chain that is holding them back. And that they will see the salvation of the Lord in their life. We lift our brothers and our sisters and the ones we love, our children, our spouses. We lift them now before you as we're joining hand in hand, praying for them that their storm will subside and they will touch your garment and they will see the storm have peace. In Jesus' name we declare this. Amen. Amen. Y'all give us some love before you sit down. Hug each other, shake each other's hand, love each other before you sit down. And then I have the ushers come up here. Y'all can be seated. Ushers, come on up here this morning.